I can count a million times. People asking me how I can praise you with all that I've gone through. The question just amazes me. Can circumstances possibly change who I forever am in you? Well, maybe since my life was changed, long before these rainy days, it's never really ever crossed my mind to turn my back on you, oh Lord, my only shelter from the storm. But instead, I draw closer through these times. So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring the chance to be free, bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. I am yours regardless of the clouds that may loom above, because you are much greater than my pain. You who made a way for me by suffering your destiny. So tell me, what's a little rain? So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring the chance to be free, bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. God Almighty is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty. Joy, bring me peace, bring the chance to be free, bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring grace. You up, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We'll have, as we normally do, we greet each other and we'll have the offering plates in the back.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Earth is filled with His glory, and holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
Put our hands together one more time. Applaud the Lord for His goodness. Oh, we love You. We praise You. We thank You, God. You are so good. You are so worthy of all honor and all praise. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. And before we allow the young people to go, make their way upstairs, Sister Connie and Sister Robin asked me to ask you if you are interested in helping out in any way in the upcoming Children's Revival we have scheduled for the weekend of March 16th and 17th. They would like for you to meet here at the church on Sunday at 5 o'clock. We have our split session at 6, but if you can meet here at 5 o'clock before the split sessions, they need all the help they can get. whether it be helping with the stage, whether it be helping pray, whether it be helping with the kids in the altar, whether it be helping with putting stuff together. It's going to be a big weekend, and so they wanted me to make a request to you to be here this coming Sunday at 5 o'clock if you would like to be involved in that. Young people, you may make your way upstairs. Congregation, you may be seated. We are going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand real quick and we'll call upon you, Sister Darlene. Josiah. All right. So remember the family and Josiah in prayer. Yes, certainly. Certainly. Anybody else? Brother Al? Goodness. All right. Certainly. Certainly. Remember, it's your niece. All right. And her, Kylie is her name. Kylie. Let's remember her prayer, certainly. Sister Angie? Certainly, certainly. Remember, Sister Angie's mom in prayer. So, go. All right. All right. All right, certainly. Yes. All right. Brother Gary? All right, all right. All right. All right, let's remember Brother Day in prayer. Yeah, certainly, certainly. Anybody else? Awesome. All right. Awesome. Yes. 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 And continue to remember David and Tony and Betty. I've been here the last three Sundays in a row. And so let's continue to lift them up in prayer. Thank you, Brother and Sister Grimm, for making that effort and reaching out. And as a church family, they're making the effort. They're coming on Sundays, and we need to make the effort to reach out to them and make connections with them. And so thank you so much. And yes, we will continue to pray for them. Anybody else? All right. Oh, Sister Rachel. Certainly, certainly. Also remember Kendall Wallace as well. They're still trying to figure out why he's having these issues with the blood. So I'll let you remember him in prayer as well. Did I see somebody else's hand? No? All right, why don't we stand? Let's go to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm so thankful that we can come to you, God, with every care and concern of this life. God, there is no need too big, no need too small. God, you care about those things that we care about. And so we come before you, God. We ask you to move in these situations, Lord. We ask you, God, for this young lady, Kylie, God. Oh, diagnosis such as that, God, there's such confusion, so many questions. Lord, I pray that you would speak peace to her heart, to her life, God. The other requests that are made mentioned here tonight, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and believe and trust in you, Lord, for Dave and Betty and Tony, Lord, they continue to come, God, that they would understand the power, God, that you have to change their life, to help them be who you would have them to be. God, we thank you for those who are reaching out, God, we ask you to work with Josiah and his family, God, as he wrestles, God, with the things that are trying to torment his mind, Lord, we pray, God, we ask that angels would help him, God, to fight the good fight of faith, to believe and trust in you, God, that you would show yourself and manifest yourself to him, that he would recognize, that, Lord, that he can walk by faith and not by sight, God, for these other prayer requests and circumstances. Lord, we know that you're able, God, for Brother Wallace, God, dealing with the tragedy of losing a friend, God, an acquaintance in law enforcement, God, what his father's dealing with. Lord, I know that you're able to help, God. You're able to minister every situation, every circumstance, God, that you are pressing us, God, to press into you, God, and we believe in, we trust in you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we can come to you in times of need, God, for you to bless, to help, and to move. God, you are so wonderful, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for your goodness, God. Minister in this house tonight, God. Help us, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, we thank you, God. We applaud your goodness. We applaud your goodness, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's applaud the Lord for his goodness. God, I'm so thankful, Jesus. So thankful. How wonderful to know you, to serve you. Your strength and your love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are launching out into a new study tonight. Apples and oranges. Can officially say that your pastor's gone fruity. That's a Bill Kellum joke, by the way. Or as my kids call them, dad jokes. I'm not going to tell you exactly what we're going to talk about yet. This is kind of how we're going to introduce it. So I'm not going to give you the topic as of yet. But we're going to start out and talk about apples and oranges. All right, now I need everybody to stand. Stand up. I know I just let you sit down, but stand up. And I need to find out why my clicker's not on. Man, I tell you what, this I know. Brother Jay, if you could get me a battery. If what I have had to deal with today is any indication of the enemy's resistance, then he does not want me to teach on this subject.
I don't know. Try to. No, still not working. All right, I may have to just point at you, Brother Jay. All right. Apples on the left, oranges on the right. If you need help with that, there's an apple and there's an orange. Apples on your left. Everybody, raise your left hand. Apples on your left. If you feel that you're an apple, you need to be on the left side. If you feel that you're an orange, you need to be on the right side. Just guess. An apple or an orange? Do you want to be an apple? Now, don't everybody stay in the same place. That's no fun. Do you want to be an apple or do you want to be an orange? Apples are on my right, your left. Oranges are... There's a clear distinction. Don't worry. Apples? No more apples. These are the only apples over here. But everybody over here is orange? Nope, you can't be undecided. That's part of the problem with our society. People are undecided. All right, so all the apples are on my right, your left. All the oranges are on my left, your right. Got it? All right, you can be seated. It's not working yet. Try it. You might have to back out and come back into it. While he's doing that, anybody know the origin of the phrase that is like comparing apples to oranges? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever used that? I use it quite a bit when I talk to contractors about bids and we're negotiating stuff, and I'll tell them, listen, man, I gotta have apples to apples here. I can't do apples to oranges. They gotta be similar. You know, we've gotta be able to see and be able to make the comparison. So what I have right here, that's like apples and oranges. I can't do that. Actually, anybody have any idea where the origin is, where it came from? Nope. The original was not even apples to oranges. Anybody know what the original was? I'll give you a hint. It was first recorded, according to Google, in William Shakespeare's play, The Taming of the Shrew. And initially it was a comparison, an apple to an oyster. I'm just telling you what I found out. Just what it was initially. And then over time, and it wasn't until like the mid-1900s that the comparison was made, or the origin of apples to oranges. Before that time, there was only a few vague references, and those vague references were apples to oysters. But now, how many of you ever heard apples to oysters? No. How many of you ever heard apples to oranges? Yes. Hey, it's working. So before we get into it, let's have a little discussion. How are they similar? How are apples and oranges similar? They're both fruits. Brother Gary, they both have seeds. They both grow on trees. They're both round or similar in shape. Anything else? They're both edible. They're both sweet. Anything else? What? Healthy. They're both known as being healthy. How about they both have a skin? What's that? Yes, you knew that these up were not here for a snack. For me. I do not eat either oranges nor apples. Anybody else? Both have vitamin C, have similar nutrients. Anything else? These are good. You guys are doing well. Anybody else want to add? How are they similar? You can eat both of them. You can peel both of them. You can make juice out of them. Like apple juice and orange juice. All right? How are they different? One's orange, one's red. What's that? What texture? The texture? One you don't eat the peel. Normally, the other you can. They're not, okay. It could be a little dissimilar in shape. What else makes them different? Smell. How many of you ever had apple pie? How many of you ever had orange pie? How many of you ever had orange sherbet? How many of you ever had apple sherbet? No? So we understand they're similar in many regards, but they're also opposites in many regards, right? They have similarities and they have dissimilarities. There are ways in which they are the same and there are ways in which they are different. But we understand and we use the analogy, or we have at some point, if something is not really comparable, we would say, well, that's like apples to oranges. However, when we just went through it, we had a lot more things that talked about how they were the same than we did about how they were different. But we do understand that they're different, right? We do understand that there's a difference between an apple and an orange. If I blindfolded you, you could simply, probably by feel, by smell, certainly by taste, you would be able to differentiate. Probably if I dropped it and you heard it hit the floor, you might be able to differentiate between the sound of an apple hitting the floor and the sound of an orange hitting the floor. Now, I can do that because I'm not going to eat them later, but I'm not because somebody might. So we understand that there are similarities and there are differences. All right. Brother Jay, Brother Greg, Brother Kellum, apologize. You were caught on the side of the apple. Now, one of the questions, when I said apples on one side, oranges on the other, somebody, I think it was Sister Davis, said, well, how do we know? How do we know whether we're an apple or an orange? And I was just like, well, you just got to guess. We're going to talk about divine design. The way God designed us, male and female, man and woman, the way that God designed us is divine. The way that we are similar is divine, and the way that we are different is divine. The distinction, but here's the problem in our society today. There's a lot of confusion, like when I first just said, apples on one side, oranges on the other. Where do I go? What do I do? Who am I? What is my role? How am I to operate in society? What is my distinction? And unfortunately, our society is becoming more and more confused about subjects like masculinity and femininity and gender distinction, family roles, and yes, even sexuality. In our society today, 2 days ago, this headline, ABC News headline, this is the headline. I typed in the word masculinity, and this was the first thing that came up on a news report. Just typing in the word masculinity into the Google search engine, here it is. ABC News, 2 days ago, here's the headline. New guidelines suggest oversubscribing to traditional masculinity can be harmful to the men's mental health. We laugh at that, but it ain't funny. Did I ever think that as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would get up and teach about the differentiation between a man and a woman? I don't know. Do I think it's necessary? Oh, yes. Do I think what I am seeing and what we are witnessing in our society? I don't know if you've seen these two buzz phrases of late, but if you haven't, you will. Toxic masculinity. And hegemonic femininity. Anybody know what toxic masculinity means? Harmful. The new thing nowadays is that being masculine and being a true man is in some way, shape, or form to society toxic. That because we, as a society, raise boys certain ways, even though there is empirical evidence that shows and reveals, if you put kids in a room together, and you put boys and girls in a room together, and you put toys of cars and trucks and boy-like toys on one side and baby dolls and kitchen items and stuff on the other side, guess what they instinctively do? The boys go to the fire trucks and the race cars and the action figures, and the girls go to the other side. But yet, hegemonic femininity, which is simply saying, hegemonic means dominant. Dominant femininity is something that our society is propagating. We're all home folks here. Do not think for one minute that the pro-choice movement does not find its roots in this type of ideology, because it does. However, the scriptures are very clear about God's design for men and women in society, in the family, and in the church. It's not ambiguous scripturally. The scripture does not leave us wondering. Now, I recognize I am not oblivious to the fact that I am a man teaching on the subject. And surely by that, in today's society, because I am a man and I am not confused about my gender or my masculinity, then I am not able to teach upon the subject, which is in and of itself absurd. That because I am a man, I will be chauvinistic in my approach, or in my teaching will be downgrading to women. But make no mistake, the Bible does not pull punches. The Bible does not care what society's opinion is on the matter. Hello. The Bible sets distinct and clear roles in regard to a man and a woman. Man, it's getting tight in here. And in our society today, that is something that is seen as a detriment. Just so you don't think it's my opinion or because I am a man and teaching upon the subject, I want us to look at Scripture. I want us to see God's design. I want us to go through the Word of God and understand the way God set it up. The way God created it. It's not my design. It's not your design. It's not society's design. It's divine. It is the way God did it. And in order for society to truly find the cure, it is only found in God. You will make no other designs as a society, as a government, as a people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who says what. The reality is the Bible presents a definitive, I thought I was in a household of believers. The fact that we have a society that wavers on this, or that considers other designs or opportunities, is a sad reality in the fact that we have a society that cares nothing for the Scripture. That does not see the Word of God as the authority. Because it's plain and it's very simple. It's not something that's shadowy. It's not something that's mystical. It's not something that's up for our private interpretation. It is there in the Word of God. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at God's divine design for a man and a woman. Now, make no mistake about it. In this setting, I understand there's not going to be much resistance. But if this were taught in our education systems, woo! You want to talk about an uproar? You want to talk about people getting upset?
they'd be upset that the Word of God, the Creator who designed it all, gave us a template, and they would be upset that we're trying to follow it. How retarded is that? I'm sorry. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How absolutely absurd is it for us as a society to think that somehow, some way, we can find a different design that will fix or help the ills of society? Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man. Everybody say man. In his own image, in the image of God created he him. Everybody say him. Male and female created he them. Everybody say them. And God blessed them. Everybody say them. God said unto them. Everybody say them. This is what God said to them, man and woman. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So it's something at the very onset we have to understand is that God created both man and woman in his image. Both the fruit. God created man and woman in his image. Created he them. Both of them. Now I understand for clarity and for the understanding of headship and authority, we often refer to God, the scripture does, as a he. But we understand that God is a spirit. He has no gender. But in his image, so catch this. The only way, if we understand the way God set it up, the only way that a couple can truly emulate the image of God is for them to function in his design roles. God gave them, everybody say them, them the task of ruling together over the rest of the creation. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. He said it unto them. In other words, it's a joint effort. Both of you are in this together. I created you both in my image. You together represent me. Genesis chapter 2 gives greater detail. Verse number 7, the Bible tells us that man is formed from the dust of the ground. Everybody say orange. Verse 18, the Bible says God looks down and looks at man and says it's not good that man would be alone. I will make an help meet for him. So verse number 18, it's not good that man should be alone. Then the Bible says that woman is formed from man. Verses 21 through 22. Everybody say apple. Adam's formed from the dust of the ground. Adam is created from the dust. Eve is created, or the woman is created, from the rib, from the side of man. Both the fruit, both made the image of God, but created differently. Do you think that God purposefully created man first? Be good to do this. Man recognizes woman as his perfect companion. Adam says, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she came forth from man. Recognizes woman. Come from his side. We understand this. Not from his feet. She would be under him. Not from his head that she would be over him, from his side. God's design that they would rule together as co-regents, subduing the earth, having dominion over it. That in their relationship, they together, man and woman, live in perfect symbiotic, you know what that means? Mutually beneficial. a symbiotic relationship ruling together as God designed. That is God's design. That's the way God set it up. But yet, there are some distinct and rather obvious differences. Fruit, different. Man was created first, and he was created differently. This is something that our world would love nothing better than for us to forget. They don't want us to look into the Word of God and realize that there is differences. That man was created first, and that man was created differently. And that man was to keep the garden and to dress it. Matter of fact, it's after that God places Adam in the garden which he made for him, and he tells him to dress it and to keep it, and then he brings all the animals to Adam and tells Adam to name all the animals, and Adam names all the animals. It's after all this that God looks down in verse 18 and says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. The Bible tells us God causes a deep sleep to come upon Adam and takes from his side and creates woman. There's another distinction, a very important distinction. God named Adam, but Adam named Eve. You don't have to do much research in the Old Testament to understand that the one that names is the one who has the authority. Paul pulls no punches. Paul specifically says that Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And just so you know, that's another reference to understanding that Jesus is God. God named Adam, but Adam named Eve. There's a distinction, and there's a reason why. The one with the authority. You go all the way to think about John. Who was it that had the authority? Who was it that came forth, and when he said his name shall be called John, or when he wrote it down, then his tongue was loosed? The authority was to the man, because the man named. And the Bible specifically says, now, ladies, please understand, this is not demeaning. This is not derogatory to you as a female. This does not decrease who you are one iota. But the Bible says that Eve was created as an helpmeet for Adam. God looked down, he saw Adam. Adam was naming everything. Adam was dressing the garden to keep it. And God said, it's not good that man would be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And so God created from the side of Adam, Eve. Eve was created as a helpmeet for Adam. But make no mistake, there's distinction. Make no mistake, there are divine roles that God set up as the difference between a man and a woman. Both created in his image. Both, he told both of them, you are to rule, you are to reign, you are to subdue, you are to replenish, but you're to do it in a distinct role. Man has the headship and authority. Man named woman and gave her the name Eve because she was the mother of all living, the Bible says. And Adam's job, when God placed him in the garden, was to dress the garden and to keep it and have dominion over all creation, over every creeping thing. And then God said, he needs help. In order for it to be the way I design it to be, I create for him a helpmeet. This does not mean servant. And here's a sad reality. We'll talk about this a little later on in the study. But do you realize that most of our history, most of humanity's history, And even today in many other countries of the world, the woman's role is very much in the... I'm not saying it's right. It's not. The women are looked upon as less. Whoa. These differences created distinct roles in order for the relationship to remain symbiotic and in accordance with God's design. Folks, I'm going to show you. Probably ain't going to have time to get to it tonight. But I'm going to show you how that when the first sin was committed, the roles reversed. The Bible says that Eve gave to her husband who was with her. That was not her role. It was his role to give unto his wife. She stepped out of her role and took authority that was not hers. And he went into her role when he accepted from her what she was providing. Hello. Sin resulted. Since Adam was created first and gave Eve her name, man was created to have authority and headship over the woman while willingly providing for her. If you don't take my word for it, read Ephesians 5. Read Colossians 3. And see if that doesn't succinctly and very emphatically define the roles. It does. It's there. Since Eve was created second and given her name by Adam, she was created to willingly help Adam as together they subdued creation. It was that symbiotic relationship, man and woman together doing what God designed them to do. And let me just put this out there. You want to know a lot of the ills we have in society? They stem from men and women not being in their and functioning in their appropriate roles. Make no mistake about it. A lot of what we're dealing with in society today stems from a man and a woman not functioning in their God-given, God-designed roles. They had the perfect relationship. As Adam's headship and provision for Eve was a manifestation of his love for her, and Eve's submission to Adam's headship and help to him was a manifestation of her love for him. And the Bible says, they were naked. They were not ashamed. There was no perversion. There was no critical eye. There was no thinking less of you and more of me. There was absolutely no selfishness at all. They were in a perfect symbiotic relationship by God's design. This is the way He set it. Now as a society, we're dealing with people, generations, wondering what their roles are. Wondering, what's my part that I play in this? What am I to do? Understand, the same-sex union, abortion, many of the things that we deal with in the sense of society's ills stem from men and women not functioning in their appropriate roles. And folks, as believers, we need to know what those roles are and we need to function therein. Because if we do not function, if as a man I am not functioning in my God-given role, it is a detriment to my family. As a woman, I'm not a woman, but if a woman is not functioning in her God-given role, she is a detriment to the family. It's not about my opinion. It's not about the way I feel about it. It is simply, thus saith the word of God. It is His divine design. It is the way He set it up. And if we want to do what God would have us to do, then we must function in those roles. What about single people? We'll talk about it. What about widowed people? We'll talk about it. You realize that every role, the Bible has an answer for it? The Bible tells what should be? There is even definition for what a widow indeed is. It might make some people uncomfortable, but it's there. These distinct roles that God has set up are His divine design. And if we will learn to function in them, and we will understand, and we will learn how to run in our lane and not try to run in. And guess what? It will be beneficial. It will be mutually beneficial. One to the other. This is God's divine design. This is the way He set it up. Apples and oranges? Yes. I know, we've heard the book, Men are from Mars, Women are from Venus. There are differences, without a doubt, and rightly so, because that's the way God designed it. God designed it that we would be complementary, not competitive. I'm not trying to do her role, and she shouldn't be trying to do my role. It's not competitive. It is complementary. And if we are complementary in our relationship and in our roles, in our God-given design, then guess what? It benefits all those who are attached to us. But if we are not functioning in our God-given roles and we are not doing what God has designed us to do, guess what? Detrimental. It is harmful. Want to talk about toxic? Toxic is when we refuse to follow the Word of God and look at His divine design and say, God, whatever you know better than I know. You can ask my boys. I more than one time, they've wondered, well, you didn't do this. I said, you're boys. You were born boys, and as boys, you have different responsibilities on you. Why? Because they got to learn that. I got to get that in their head now. In a society, in a world that tries to confuse all that and murk the water and make it all money, no defined roles, no distinction. Do we understand that is what's happening in our society? That these roles and these distinctions are becoming so blurred, and the lines which decide between an apple and an orange, they just want to say we're all fruit. Let's just all be fruit. Guess what? There's different roles. There's distinctions. There's reasons why God set it up the way He set it up. And when, and we're going to get into this next week, the curse that came with sin. What happened as a result of that? I know. It's, sin came in. Yes, sin came into the world. We understand that. But do we not understand that something else died? You know what else died? Man and woman operating in their God-given divine design. Because this is one of the tenets. This is just, we've got a few minutes, so this is just a commercial for next week. Do you realize that one of the curses that happened as a result of their sin was that God told the woman, you're going to have a desire, and your desire is that you will rule over him? It is the same wording that is used when the Lord speaks to Cain and says, if thou doest well, will that not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And if you are not careful, it will control you. That word control, and that same thing is the reason. And it's right there in the same curse that God gives in relation to the woman. The man, now you're going to have to, no more you're just going to be able to till the ground and it's going to yield. You're going to have to work at it by the sweat of your brow. Marital strife came as a result
of a man and a woman not functioning in their God-given design roles. It's there. And let me just put it out there. I would say the majority of marital problems exist when men and women do not function in their God-given roles. When a man does not love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and a woman does not submit herself unto her husband. I know that's not popular today. It's Bible. It's there. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Have you ever thought about why the enemy desires so much to tear down those walls, differentiation? How the enemy wants us, society, to see it all as just fruit? The enemy doesn't want the distinction. He doesn't want apples and oranges. Why? That's God's divine design. It is in the image of God. In the image of God made he them. Male and female made he them. So when there is never, catch this, in our lives, in humanity, there is never a more clear picture of God than when a man and woman are in a relationship together in their God-given designed role. Because while God is neither masculine nor feminine, guess what? He is in reality both. And a man and a woman operating in their distinct roles, complementing each other in a symbiotic relationship, is in the image of Almighty God. No wonder the devil wants to destroy it. No wonder the enemy seeks kill, to steal, and to destroy, because it's the very image of Almighty God. Sin entered into the world when a man and a woman stopped their obedience, stopped, and they disobeyed God by doing the one thing they were not to do. And in that committing that sin, you find that they are not operating in their God-given roles. Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh God, this kind of teaching we need so much. The world, God, needs to understand that there is a design, Lord, that you made. There's a design that if we truly understand and obediently and willingly follow, God, all the beauty that results from it, God, it is in your very image. Lord, I thank you, God. I pray, Lord, and let my heart, my mind, God, continue, God, to teach upon this in a way, God, that we would receive, God, and desire to implement in our lives, in our marriages, God, in our homes, God, that we would truly seek your design, God, and follow your will and your way. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.